You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
In order to make America great and glorious again, I am tonight announcing my candidacy for President of the United States.
And so it begins again. There is Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago last night, as he did previously announced, I'm running for president. Of course, the previous time, basically just a television personality, you're fired, and coming down the escalator, and all the excitement about it. But he was one of 15, 17 candidates before it was all over with. And who thought he had a chance to win? I did not. In fact, he was not my first, second, or even third choice of those candidates that were there. But when it was over, when all the smoke had cleared, Donald Trump was standing, still standing. Now, of course, with his prior record of success in rebuilding our country, getting us on an economic track, which has been destroyed over the last couple of years during the Biden administration, and infiltrated by illegals and who knows how many jihadists, under this current administration, he wants to come back in and set things right again. He did not, and I'm glad to say he did not last night throw any barbs at Governor DeSantis or anyone else. He stuck to what he's going to be doing for the country and how he can make it better again. And, of course, you still have many saying, well, but they just kind of lost the energy in the room because he droned on and on. It's 69 minutes or something like that. That is a problem with this president. He needs editing. But does anyone dare come up and say, let's cut it off here? They should. It would help immensely. We're going to get into that because that became a point of contention for some there at the event last night and, of course, in the view of some of the reporters. And it's a legitimate issue. If you go on and on and on, you lose your momentum. But, of course, the knives are already out. The National Review quickly rushing out, swinging against President Trump, saying firm, unmistakable no to this campaign. To that point, we're going to be joined later today by Tristan Justice of the Federalist. And he said, Trump running again, and D.C. political elites would be well to remember 2016. You're going to hear exactly why he says that, but I think you can probably figure it out because everyone again was saying, this is not the guy. This is not the guy we're going to want. Now, there's something else that's happened, of course, that's going to be very key for him. One, of course, Mitch McConnell is being reelected Senate Security Leader, and that we've already acknowledged was going to happen. And the House is going to be controlled now because Kevin Kiley, Republican in California, did win the 3rd Congressional District in California, and he was endorsed by Trump. So that secures the House majority for the Republican Party. That called after 5 key House districts in California and Arizona Monday night. So, again, Kiley is calling on a Republican-controlled House, which it should be, to return to the Trump policies, which, again, is going to give him a basis to be stronger this time around. There is something else we're going to deal with today on a couple other levels here. One is senators, of course, prepared, and that would include Republican senators involved in this number right now, to codify same-sex marriage. Now, what does that mean exactly? It's really created under something that was going to be the Marital Protection Restoration Act, some words of that effect. My guest, Sarah Perry, with the Heritage Foundation, a legal expert, basically saying It's a scam, and it's really a political weapon, making marriage a political weapon for liberals, the leftists, and everyone else along that line. We'll get into that. And then also a very interesting discourse last night between, or the other day, from Congressman Kamak as she was questioning Mayorkas about his lack of ability to control our border. And he still thinks, oh, it's all safe and secure. Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, and then CNN so quick to point out how many mistakes Trump made in his facts last night. They won't focus on Biden facts. Huh, wonder why. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well. With Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I started out with $1 million, gambled with a man and I won me another, bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, it's official. Former President Donald Trump will be running for president again in 2024. Trump declared his candidacy for the Republican nomination last night at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida. And Chief Washington correspondent Major Garrett was there for the announcement and joins us now from Palm Beach. Major, good morning.
Good morning, Anne-Marie. So let me paint a picture for you. The Mar-a-Lago ballroom packed with well-dressed Trump supporters, well-dressed because, as Trump might say, hey, it's high season here in Palm Beach. And there was tremendous expectation in the air. And when Trump came out, crowd chanted USA, 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 everything going according to script. And then as Trump talked and kept talking and kept talking, well, the best way to describe it is this: low energy.
And I think that's probably a very accurate description. I wasn't there. And Major Garrett, he's with CBS Network, but overall, very good reporter and analysis, and his statement probably reflected exactly what happened. It's pretty hard to keep a crowd engaged for an hour plus, just to keep them yelling and shouting and over again. And Trump has a problem in the sense that he does not edit himself, that he goes on, and he'll go off on a squirrel. You'll start seeing someone over here and start talking about that person, then come back to the issue. Now, you can say, Larry, you're being really negative about him. I'm just trying to be factual with you and realistic. It's not well-controlled speaking and good oration if you continue to lose your audience. What? Oh, I hear you guys turning off out there. Okay, I guess I did that already. Okay. I'm going to be with you here another hour plus, an hour 50 or more. So I'm going to be here whether you are or not. Which, by the way, I wanted to take time to remind you, which I did not at the beginning, we are live streaming, as we do when we're in a live program. When we are on the air live, we are on Rumble.com. You go to Rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors USA. That'll take you right to our Rumble page. You push the button that says live, and you're in studio with us. I'd offer you some coffee, but I don't have any. I have a bottle of Jack somewhere around here, or I did have one. I don't know what happened to that either. But welcome to have you. And remember, if you miss any of the audio portions, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, and you will get the audio as a podcast later, almost shortly after we finish each day's program. Now, the issue about Trump coming back in had been suspected and rumored and so forth, and he had said he was not going to, and he didn't want to do it in advance of the midterm because he didn't want to do anything that might actually interfere with him. Well, he had already interfered to the extent that he had numerous candidates that were running that had his endorsement, and they had won their primaries. And so that's where all of the talk was coming. There's going to be a red wave, a red tsunami. And so if he waited until after that happened, well, they'd come in like the victor that, look how I led us to win across the nation. Didn't happen. So he has to almost come in and declare at this point that he's coming in as somebody who can save and take us back to where we were, which we're certainly willing to do that as well, are we not? Are you not willing to shut down the border again? Are you willing to see your gas prices go down? Are you willing to see cost of your groceries go down again? Are you willing to see oil and gas exploration open up in this country again rather than buying it from Venezuela, communist money, and are also a dirtier oil than what our environmentalists don't like anyway? They want a better climate. They want to shut down our oil and gas and fossil fuel, but they're willing to get it from some other country. If you're talking about a global climate, does that make any kind of sense? Come on. You know it doesn't. And they know it doesn't. But a little this, a little bit of that, a little seltzer in your pants, and maybe you're dancing and you're all happy. No, we're not happy. We're not happy at all the way this has been going and would be going. So it's a clarion call for Trump or someone like him to return. Whether or not it will be him or DeSantis remains to be seen. I told you the other day some of the polls were indicating that DeSantis is the guy to come forward. Even Winsome Sears, the black woman elected attorney general in West Virginia, pointed out, and she got in with the help of Donald Trump, said, I think it's time we move on. He's not really helping us now. A leader should recognize it's time to step aside. He is still a dominant figure in the party. You can't deny that. He did in the speech last night take aim at the media, of course, setting the record straight on the power of his endorsements and reminding voters in his classic brand that Nancy Pelosi had been fired, which, as I said in the opening monologue, yes, it became clear with the win of the 3rd California District going to the Republican, Kylie, that, yes, there will no longer be a majority controlled in the House by the Democrats. However, Kevin Kiley winning that seat for Republicans in the House doesn't satisfy our needs for Georgia, for the Senate, and Georgia is still the next battleground coming up. So back to the way how it was playing out last night. As I told you, CBS Major Garrett is pretty good on analyzing things, and he said it started off with a bang and excitement. But then as he continued to go down a litany of things that he wanted to cover, and the crowd would yell and shout from time to time, it finally reached a point of, as he said, just low energy. So let's pick up again a part of the coverage as produced by Major Garrett for CBS News.
I am tonight announcing my candidacy for President of the United States.
In announcing his third bid for the presidency, Donald Trump tried in vain to capture the spirit of his 2016 insurgent campaign.
We will be taking on the most corrupt forces and entrenched interests imaginable. This is not a task for a politician or a conventional candidate.
Trump displayed a fraction of his 2016 energy. The speech ran twice as long as scheduled and for long stretches left his crowd restless and silent. Trump tried to boost spirits by claiming Republicans had won control of the House, something they appear poised to do.
In the midterms, my endorsement success rate was 232 wins and only 22 losses.
Trump put the best face on Republican midterm failures and said he bore none of the blame, even though some of his hand-picked candidates lost in key races.
That is a point. But I'll also point out to you that we now know that Democrat operatives were putting money into candidates endorsed by Trump, knowing that they were not going to be the best candidates and that they'd be easier to defeat. And that's exactly what happened come midterm election day. This was, as I said earlier, a 69-minute address as Trump unveiled what he called a National Greatness Agenda, NGA. Oh, my gosh, there goes the MAGA call. I mean, you can't call them MAGAs anymore. Make America Great Again. Now it's NGA. But he said this is what we call a national greatness agenda because our country can be greater than it's ever been. Our country is not great anymore. It's a mess. These are his words. But our country can be greater than it ever was before. There will be much, much more in the months ahead, and there are so many things to do. The road ahead of us will not be easy. That is a point I think everyone would agree with. Yesterday on MSNBC, even before the announcement or his statement last night, they were analyzing what he might say and how it might be received. And among those on MSNBC that was giving his view at the time was Charlie Sykes. Charlie Sykes is the editor at Bulwark, B-U-L-W-A-R-K. It's built itself as a center-right news and opinion operation. And he says, the difference this time around, and Trump the first time, maybe the first time he's kind of unknown, but in Charlie Sykes' view right now, this time we know, in his words, we know more about him, and Trump is maybe considered toxic.
The timing of Trump's announcement is awfully interesting because if there had been a genuine red wave, this would have been politically smart, right? He would have taken credit for it. The wind would be at his back. He would get in before his opponents. He would beat the Department of Justice. But given the fact that he's got this big loser label slapped on his forehead, the announcement tomorrow makes a lot less sense. And so it's going to be interesting to see how Republicans react and whether finally, after all of these years and all of these outrages, they decide to turn the page. And until they do, I guess I'm still skeptical.
Still skeptical. And again, that's Charlie Sykes, editor of Bulwark, which is billing itself as a center-right group. He addressed the midterms, by the way, last night. In fact, he said, we have won back control of the U.S. House of Representatives, pointing out Congressman-elect Kevin Kiley of California, whom he endorsed, put the GOP over the top to secure the majority. He did add that those disappointed in our underwhelming performance in the midterm election were, quote, right. You were right to be upset, angered, distressed, dismayed, whatever word you choose for your adjective. He then argued, though, that the American public has not fully felt the pain of the left's policies yet. Now, that I agree with. That is something I pointed out in a piece I read for you yesterday. It may end up being published. Whether or not it does or doesn't, I don't care. The point remains, take all the elections, wins, losses, the candidates' wins, losses aside. What I wanted to see out of this more than anything else, this midterm, yes, a red wave, a red tsunami, but I wanted it a clear mandate, by the sheer numbers delivered to the leftist, ultra-woke crowd out there. You don't tell us how to raise our kids. You don't consider they're your kids when they're in school. And for the NEA members who claim that we know best about what your kid, you do not know what's best. And in fact, parading drag queens in front of our kids is not at all for their benefit. And then you want to get into telling us how we're going to pit our kids against each other because they should feel guilty for something great, 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 great grandfathers did in the past, one way or the other. That's what I wanted more than anything else in the midterm. That was a mandate, and we failed to get a mandate. I wanted to be very clear to the ultra-left. No. And that's why I wanted more Democrats to join with Republicans in delivering that message. That would be a mandate. We don't have it. We have pockets around the area where they're making it clear to teachers' unions, teacher, parent-teacher councils, so forth, and they will continue, school boards. You know, this is what we will and will not accept. But I wanted it so strong that the woke crowd would suddenly cower in the corner and say, bad timing, we need to back off. Same thing about closing down fossil fuel and going full electric when it's impossible at this point. So Major Garrett, back to him again and his comments about how he thought some of the analysis would be presented when you look at it in the full context of a 69-minute speech basically saying, I'm running again in 2024.
Before the speech, Trump advisors in the room said, you know, this is not going to be a revisiting of grievances. It's going to be focused on the future, which some Trump critics have said he needs to do. Okay, fine. He did not say very much at all about election denialism, but let's remind ourselves, for the last 2 years, that has been former President Trump's obsession, baselessly saying the 2020 election was stolen from him. Not only saying that, but fueling a riot on the Capitol on January 6th and making that, for most Republicans seeking his endorsement, a core litmus test.
Now, there's where I have a problem with Garrett. He said fueling the January 6th protests. How did he fuel it? Because he held a rally down the street? Did he tell them to go down there and riot? No. And if he had said that, you would have that slammed in your face every day. But they don't have such evidence. There were a couple things that he did not address last night. And Major Garrett of CBS News pointed those out when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The other thing he didn't mention is anything about abortion rights. Now, the former president, while as president, nominated and saw confirmed three justices to the Supreme Court. And that led directly to the overturning of Roe versus Wade. Both of those issues, Anne Marie, abortion rights and anger over their removal at the federal level through the Supreme Court, and election denialism played prominently in the midterm elections. Trump may want to cast them aside, but the midterm election results, and many Republicans will tell you, voters aren't going to forget.
And again, that's the analysis of Major Garrett as he reported from the Trump speech last night. Let me go over a couple points. It is a fact that, yes, Trump had the opportunity to appoint three members to the U.S. Supreme Court. Riddle me this. Would you wanted Hillary Clinton to have that authority? No. And the abortion issue, by all accounts, did figure more than what many thought it would be, because so many more women voted and young college students voting for the first time. And if they're going to base it on simply that's more important to them than anything, then that's why they go vote. If you're looking about the kitchen table issues, inflation and so forth, which most people were, and our border issue, those became more important to folks. And the only defense, and I made a point that when the Roe v. Wade decision came through the court officially, even before when it was also released prematurely, I said that will we probably be a rally call for the Democrats. But then as time went on, I thought it's so far back now that that's not the latest thing. The inflation continues to just eat away at us. And the number of illegals coming in the country are getting more and more. Trump did address that point last night. He pointed out that, in a way, he said it's kind of good we've had a pause of 2 years without me, but the problem is we're going to need now a deep clean to get the festering rot of corruption out. We will dismantle the deep state And he also pointed out in his words, and again, I want to quote from him, "You think it's been bad so far these last 2 years? It will be worse, believe me." And to that extent, speaking about inflation and how they keep trying to rejuggle numbers, we're a recession, we're not a recession, redefining, so forth and so on, Steve Moore, the Heritage Foundation, a financial expert, was explaining about how this inflation rate, folks think it's going to get better. Oh, no, 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 no.
If you look every time the interest rates on the federal debt, because the United States government is the largest borrower in the world, right? And so when the interest rate on the 10-year or 20 or 30-year treasury goes up by one percentage point, that adds another $1 trillion to the debt. So we're like a dog chasing its tail. The more we borrow, the more the interest rates go up. The more the interest rates go up, the more the borrowing goes up. It's a very vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for insulting dogs as a dog lover.
That's a good comment. Yeah, but it's a fact. We're chasing our own tail. You're not going to get a control on it. You keep doing it that way. You're not learning anything, are you? Again, that's Steve Moore, the Heritage Foundation, talking about where we are with inflation, how bad it's going to get. And Trump is right. It's going to get worse before it gets better at this rate, that's for sure. Now, a couple things did also happen. He pointed out in his speech last night, Trump did say that, well, we've taken over the Congress and Nancy Pelosi is fired, which is true. I told you about Stephen Kiley winning that, Kevin Kiley winning that seat in California, which gave the Republicans control of the House. They have now elected Steve Scalise as majority leader, Steve Scalise, Republican of Louisiana. By the way, of course, a Senate Republicans had to vote on who's going to lead them as a minority leader. They went back to Mitch McConnell. Number of GOP senators were wanted to elect him after a motion backed by Senator Ted Cruz of Texas and other conservatives said, let's wait until after the December 6th runoff in Georgia. They said, no, we want to do it now. So McConnell remains in position. And coming up, the Senate's going to be dealing with something called the Respect for Marriage Act. That's a misnomer. In fact, it's a flat-out sham.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. The Senate is considering to codify something called Respect for Marriage Act. Supposedly it would erase the Defense of Marriage Act, the 1996 law preserving man-woman marriage at the state and federal levels, before totally rendered inoperative by the Supreme Court's Obergefell and Windsor decisions. Now, when they say Respect for Marriage Act, is that really what it is or not? Is it a sham? Is it something that could be weaponized against others? Joining me now, Sarah Perry, Heritage legal expert. Glad to have you on board.
Thanks for having me.
So, Sarah, the question is, obviously, to codify same-sex marriages, what does that mean, first of all, and what's the end result, possibly?
Well, let's talk a little bit about why this bill is actually pending before the Senate right now. In one separate concurrence, Justice Clarence Thomas in the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health decision said essentially that we should argue all of our substantive due process cases over again, that we right. should revisit them. And these are cases that concern interracial marriage, the right to contraception, the right to same-sex marriage. But here's the thing. When Alito pens the majority opinion, to which five justices joined, they said explicitly that abortion was different, that this was only related to the right to abortion because why? There's another person involved. So what we're seeing now is a lot of hysteria from the part of the Democratic cabal on Capitol Hill, and we're seeing it, not surprisingly, in a lame duck session where people who are headed out of their active terms are what I like to call torching the House before they move out. And
good,
that's
good term. Good term, by the way. Yeah, good term. Thank you.
So what we're doing is we're essentially taking, for example, Jack Phillips, the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop, a for-profit organization, but sort of instructed and led by Christian principles. And we're telling him that he no longer has a right under state law to be able to say, this is not a message I want to portray. Same thing I give you for Lori Smith, who also runs a for-profit business, 303 Creative. She's a website designer. She doesn't want to do websites celebrating gay marriages. What this does is essentially enshrine into federal law the standards set by the Supreme Court in Obergefell, and it upends any other state restrictions. So if a state, for example, determines that polygamy is going to be illegal within their state, because we're seeing, Larry, and you know this, an increasing trend toward sort of this loosening of what were previous moral norms. We've seen Obergefell, but we've now seen calls, for example, in California to recognize polygamous marriages. It's already happened in Utah. We've seen the slippery slope we were told that we were not going to see. But what we're doing now is essentially being faced with the inability to legislate as the states would like to legislate, because they are forced to recognize marriages from another state, even though those particular marriages might be illegal under their law. And we're also seeing Congress take a heavy hand against, among other organizations, for-profit businesses run by Christians. All they right. no longer get a right of dissent.
Let me narrow down again. Let's just deal, and again, you're right, there's so many tentacles to this thing, and it's hard to, it's like how do you eat an elephant, a bite at a time, and that's what we're trying to do here. But I have some friends who are, in fact, they're basically log cabin Republicans. They're both homosexuals, and they wanted to have a union that would preserve their rights and as a couple, any couple could have if they, quote, married. They did not like the term marriage because they felt that was something their parents did. But when they moved to California, they said, you know, we can have, quote, a union here, and that's what we're going to do so we can preserve rights and ownership and things of this nature. I'm not opposed to them, anyone, having equal rights. But when I see it used, and these two I'm talking about, they'd be the first ones to say, as you said, this is not where this was intended to go. Just like we're hearing from members of the LGBTQ and transgenders, that you guys are taking what we honestly, sincerely believed in, you're making it a circus.
Absolutely. And what they've done is take Obergefell and U.S. versus Windsor, both cases that struck down the Defense of Marriage Act. Remember, Clinton signed that into law in 1996, and of course, nobody loves to flip-flop as much as the Dems. There was a point at which the sort of bulk of Democratic senators and congressmen supported the Defense of Marriage Act, which was a federal definition for male versus female, in the same way that we don't define federally, because there are constitutional implications with getting involved in what are traditionally state matters like marriage. We don't certainly want the federal government involved in concretizing a definition of marriage that includes same-sex marriage, because by doing that, even though there are a lot of sort of fancy, comfortable, soft-sounding words about the First Amendment and about the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, What we've not done is adequately protect individual, conscientious objectors. We've protected nonprofit organizations, but those individuals like you and I who might have conscientious objections, we don't get a say.
No. You become a target. You become a target. And even Obama admitted he was against homosexual marriage and before he's now for it. He finally admitted I had an evolution.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Party evolved more than the Democratic Party. I'll tell you that, Larry.
Well, now, and again, it's a thin line here because, and again, I have some gay friends that they either are living together or they want to have a union. I think in the fact there's a couple in Illinois where they can also do it. I don't have a problem with them making a decision. What I have a problem with is forcing me to accept something, and if it's going to be imposed by state or federal law, that it's not a matter of, has ever been for a lot of these people, it's not inclusive, it's exclusive.
Yes, and here's something that I'd love the listeners to understand. This law does nothing more than Obergefell already guarantees under Supreme Court precedent. It simply goes further to discriminate against religious and conscientious objecting Americans, and that is our fundamental disagreement with this legislation. Listen, Senator Mike Lee proposed a religious amendment to this particular bill that would have been much more comprehensive in its expressions, its protections of religious individuals, religious nonprofits, religious for-profits, religious schools. That, however, was not passed. What we've seen now is a bill led by Tammy Baldwin. This is not a bill that we can get behind. It's one ultimately in the end that is not only not neutral on marriage, it purports to support and push a definition of marriage that upends not only states' rights under the Constitution, but also individual rights under the Constitution. I think what we're doing is that we're creating a private right of action that's subjecting all these individuals to lawsuits.
You're listening to Sarah Perry with the Heritage Legal Foundation. So I had used the words earlier that this is all a sham, and my next concern is it is going to be weaponized, and then they're going to build upon fears and horror that we're actually going to go back and discriminate based on race, as if Harvard University hadn't been doing it, but that we're going to start redefining people by color and shades of skin, which we never want to go back to and do again. But they want you to believe that if you don't do this, then that's where you're going next time, right? That'll be your next target to take apart. In the last 30, 40 seconds, your view.
I got to tell you again, I think this is nothing but sort of fear-mongering on the part of the Democratic cabal. They know that they are holding onto a very slim majority in the House at present, and they want to push through what they can in a lame duck session before it's very likely that their boss will lose his position in November of 2024. They are trying to make hay, and unfortunately, the American public pays the price.
I got to ask one more then. I'm going to have to extend just a little bit. Again, a quick 30 seconds. How much can the Senate and House do for packing the court and some of the other things they want before the new legislators are installed?
It depends on how much they have to defeat a filibuster. They believe on the Respect for Marriage Act, they can defeat a filibuster effort, but it's not clear going forward what they'll be able to achieve. And for a very long time, even leftist-leaning judicial originalists, like, for example, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, have said 9 is the number that we go with on the Supreme Court. They'll have to contend with history.
Excellent point. Sarah Perry, Heritage Legal Expert, thank you very much for helping us understand this. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We'll do it again. Coming up, I want to read to you how CNN looked at Trump's speech last night and tore it up. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. Well, actually, their excuses and how they define wrong, it's kind of questionable. Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving. or the finest Italian food. Napoli C, coming soon, joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town & Country, and Clayton.
You ain't nothing but a hound. Been snooping on the door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping on the door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I love that woman and her version of Hound Dog. That's Big Mama Thornton. And in case you don't know her history, she was born 1926, passed away 1984. Singer, songwriter, blues, and R&B. And, of course, Elvis did his version of Hound Dog, which is good. But that does not compare to that woman right there. She is amazing like that. I love it. So I want to show you what I've got here. This is this got to be, 15 pages or so that I ran off. I had to run off, so I have it in my hand. Running this program takes money. No, it's not. I'm making big dollars. I mean, we and my staff isn't making what they should be making either. But there are a lot of other expenses. There's different things we have to do for netting and protection rights and things of this nature. And then this printer thing here, you don't repair a printer anymore. You buy a whole damn new one because it's not worth it. And then the paper, and I'm trying to minimize because the more paper you're using, pretty soon it's got to go. So I don't like running off this much, but I could not go through this simply looking at the computer. This is a list of some, not even all of them, of CNNNN quickly pointing out this, as they say, is a fact check of 20 false or misleading things Trump said, and this is not a comprehensive list they had. Now, let me tell you how they break this down and how they do that. And it doesn't take long to start reading. You're just moving things around. I mean, if you were that concerned about what you put in here, why aren't you questioning Biden on this kind of stuff on a consistent basis, CNNNNN? Oh, we know the answer, don't we? Never mind. Listen, if you're watching on Rumble right now, bear with me. I am getting a little agitated, and it's probably in my voice as well. All right, so here's one of them. Afghanistan withdrawal. Trump claimed that the U.S. left $85 billion worth of military equipment in Afghanistan when we withdrew. They say fact first. His figure is false. A significant amount of military equipment was abandoned, but it wasn't $85 billion. It was closer to $83 billion. Oh, what's a couple billion between friends, really? Come on. All right, so another fact thing. Trump claimed his administration filled up the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, but has now been, quote, virtually drained by the Biden administration. And they said, facts first. Both parts of his claim are false. He didn't fill it up, and it's not virtually drained. Nobody put more in it than anyone else had. We had up to 710 million barrels and a million barrels, and now we're down to 396 million barrels of the week ending November 4th. So I would say, okay, you don't say virtually drained. You're more than halfway down. Would you buy that? Tariffs on China. Trump boasted about his tariffs on China, claiming no president sought or received $1 for our country from China until I came along. And they say again on CNN and facts first, it's not true that no president before Trump has generated any revenue through tariffs or goods on China. And they go on to say, yeah, they're not getting as much as we used to. They're always looking for ways to hide this thing. Sea level rise. Trump claimed the unnamed people aren't talking about the threat of nuclear weapons because they're obsessed with environmental issues. He said, which may affect us 300 years. They say Trump's claims are false. He said, even if you ignore some people that aren't paying attention to nuclear threats because they're focused on the environment. They go on then to say that, no, our sea is going to drop a lot more than what, never mind. You see where they're going with all of this. Drugs and punishment in China. Trump claimed that the Chinese leader had told him China has no problem at all because of its harsh treatment of drug traffickers. They say that's not true, just as he made similar claims as president. China has, and the Chinese government has, itself reported 1.4 million registered drug users nationwide. Huh. So maybe they're registered, but not jailed. I don't know. I couldn't get into all this and figure it out either. And then, let me see, gas prices. As he has on other occasions, he used that in discussing gas prices. He said, we were at $1.87 a gallon for gas. Now it's sitting $5, $6, $7, even $8. It's going to go really bad. Facts first, they say, no, there's no misleading. We're classifying it as inaccurate. The price of gallon did fall briefly to $1.87 and lower. But now the state with the highest price is around $5.42. But they do admit, yeah, there was a case where there was up above that mark as well. In other words, they're looking for anything. How do you nitpick something apart? You see somebody's got a sweater and they got a little thread. You don't want this here. This is wrong. Let me just put, and you put, pretty soon you pull the sweater apart. And then you get charged for disrobing someone in public, you think? Hey, coming up in the next hour, we're going to take another look at Trump and his campaign, and also something else you do not want to miss.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.